How can it hurt to play such beautiful music? That's what many people used to ask cellist Janet Horvath when she developed severe tendonitis in her left arm. The problem was a result of overzealous practicing, and Horvath found she wasn't alone. With 300 applicants vying for a single vacant seat in an orchestra, and many orchestras now working 52 weeks a year, many musicians are overdoing it and suffering from playing-related injuries. Horvath recovered from her tendonitis and is now associate principal cellist with the Minnesota Orchestra. This weekend, the Minnesota Orchestra and the University of Minnesota are co-sponsoring a conference on playing-related ailments. Horvath, who organized the conference, told me how it came about.
There was a national survey done recently, and the results were that at least 75% of professional musicians have an injury during their professional career. That's outrageous, I think. So when I started getting into doing Playing Hurt, our conference, there were five people out in our orchestra, a couple of whom had been out for over a year. And it was such a serious problem. Just in discussing this with other musicians, I realized that, you know, somebody's got to do something to get this out of the closet.
What are some of the typical problems associated with the different instruments?
There are so many injuries, people would be staggered. Tendonitis, or the term overuse, is a serious problem with string players. The biggest culprit, for example, in music that causes serious tendonitis would be tremolo, where we have to very loudly tremble on the string, a very quick back and forth motion that sometimes we have to do for pages in Strauss, for example. That causes blood to just rush into your arm, and it really starts aching and gets to the point that you feel like you're going to drop the bow and your arm's going to fall off, and it really hurts. We have lots of problems with necks in violin players. Obviously, holding a violin is not a very natural position, and after hours of twisting your body and your arm to put that violin under your neck, contributes to a lot of neck and shoulder problems. Flute players also have tremendous neck problems, as well as TMJ, which is a syndrome of the jaw that starts with clicking and ends up with having, you know, the jaw just be totally displaced. And hopefully it doesn't get to that point where you have to have surgery. What else? Well, there's clarinetist finger. There's a lot of breathing problems with wind players. Teeth can be a major problem with instrumentalists. You have to be very careful with going to a dentist, because brass players need their teeth for the kind of support they need for their embouchures.
We asked you to send some articles about different physical problems that musicians are facing, and you sent an article about Max Weinberg, who's for years been the drummer for Bruce Springsteen, and you wrote on it, "This is to indicate that classical musicians aren't wimps who are the only sufferers." Do you get people thinking that a lot? That, you classical people, you have these tendon problems. If you were really tough, you wouldn't have it.
Yes, I do. I think there is still the attitude that classical musicians are these, you know, pale-faced, unathletic people that are just wimps and like only classical music, and they don't like rock, and they don't like to do normal things that normal people like to do. I think that's true, and it's a problem to get this word out that also, jazz musicians and rock musicians, in fact, are even more vulnerable than we are. We have our unions, we have our contracts and limitations on the time of rehearsals and number of services per week. A jazz musician that has to play in a smoky environment in a teeny corner of a nightclub and has to play three sets a night and end up playing till 2 a.m. under very adverse conditions is even more at risk than we are.
Yeah, you mentioned that a lot of classical musicians are in an organization, an orchestra. Are orchestras providing more guidance or more protection for musicians who are suffering with physical ailments?
That's my goal. I am very hopeful that we'll get to the point that orchestra players will be regarded as an athletic team. Just like a football team has their on-staff physical therapists and masseuses and doctors right on call, I hope that one time we will get to the point for orchestras that there will be on-staff certified people that we can draw on when people are hurting. And I must say that the Minnesota Orchestra and the University of Minnesota have been incredibly aware and progressive in this area. There are still a lot of places in the country where people are still afraid to say, hey, I'm hurting, I need some time off. They're afraid of demotion, they're afraid that they may be fired. And there are still people that think classical musicians are so suggestive and vulnerable that, you know, we'll put this in their heads and they're not really hurting and it can't really be a problem.
There are special doctors who are beginning to specialize in music-related medicine and who understand how instrumentalists play and where the tension points are, the parts of the repertoire that are going to be more physically upsetting to them. Is there any kind of hotline yet for to find out information about doctors who might be specialists in the area that you have?
There isn't a hotline. I hope that eventually there will be. There is a national magazine now being published called The Medical Problems of Performing Artists. And in that magazine, you'll have a lot of reference material to find out who the doctors are. We hope to put out some kind of directory in the next year or two that will be a reference to the various orchestras to find out how to get in touch with people.
A lot of musicians in the past have been afraid to let anyone know that they have tendonitis or another playing-related injury for fear that they won't get jobs or they'll get demoted. Has going public with your problem affected your career at all? When I say your problem, it was a former problem.
I think it has affected my career. I think I'm now recognized as, you know, having lived after an injury to tell the tale. I think I'm in a very prominent position. I'm associate principal cellist, and people can see that I'm able to play as well as anybody else, and I have survived, and I understand the problem. So people know that they can do it. They know that they can contact me if they need some help with cello playing. And I must say that there are still people that say, hey, you're only doing this conference because you had an injury. And that's not so. I'm doing it because I think there's a tremendous need for coming out of the closet. And as you say, people still don't want to talk about it and don't want to admit that they're having pain. I think part of the fear is that it's going to result in them discovering that they have poor or incorrect technique. And the idea of a professional musician having to start from square one or, you know, relearn how to do something is very scary. And it's very understandable that people are reluctant to have to face that. But what we're discovering in our research, especially in orchestra players, is that misuse or poor technique is not the only cause of injuries. It is definitely caused, and it can be cumulative over a career, of overuse. And that's what we're trying to also disseminate here.
So in other words, don't be afraid of going to the doctor. You're not necessarily doing something wrong. You might just be doing too much of it.
Right, exactly.
Any other suggestions that you have to prevent music-related problems?
Well, I have lots of suggestions. Part of it is for students and professionals to be much more aware of warming up. An athlete would never run the 100-yard dash without warming up, and yet we will throw our instruments in the locker and pull it out and play Strauss or something. That doesn't work. Maybe when you're 15 or 18 and you have all the energy in the world and your muscles can take a lot, that you can get away with, but not when you're older and it just does catch up with you.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us. Thank you.
Thank you.